Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessam, and I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be talking about a restaurant that used to be located on Maple Street across from the courthouse. In the late 70s, early 80s, it was called Squire's Retreat, and it was owned by a lady named Bertie Thomas. We'll talk about Bertie, her husband Grant, and their family when we speak to their son David Thomas, a local attorney, right after this word from one of our fine sponsors here on Jess FM.
Hi, I'm Glenn Downs, pharmacist at the Prescription Pad. We're now Nicholasville's only family-owned and operated pharmacy. Our knowledgeable and experienced staff guarantees personalized service that focuses on your personal health needs and the health needs of your family. We understand how busy life gets. That's why we provide great service, drive-through, and free delivery in Nicholasville and Wilmore. We offer a variety of services and products, including compounding, nebulizers, compression stockings, rollator walkers, and wheelchairs. I'm Glenn Downs, and I'd like the opportunity to be your pharmacist. Come see us on the Nicholasville Bypass in the Keene Center between Copper River Grill and Anytime Fitness. We're the Prescription Pad, a different kind of pharmacy.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you as we continue to learn more about people, places, and things in Jessamine County. When I was growing up, I remember my mother taking me into a business on Maple Street across from the courthouse. It is a stone front building, and at that time, I would go in there as a young child, and there was a lady named Evelyn Marshall who would hand you this little cardboard container that you could keep dimes in, because she worked at Jessamine First Federal Savings and Loan, and that was located there at that time. Well, later down the road, that became a restaurant, and we're going to talk about that today, the person that owned it and the family from which she hailed from, the Thomas family here in Jessamine County. With me is her son, David. He is an attorney. Good morning.
Good morning, Doug.
Glad to have you along as we learn a little bit more about the Thomas family and get on into Squire's Retreat, as many people remember, located in that building. As I said, I first remember that building, particular as Jessamine First Federal. Do you remember that?
I do.
And that was going back, I guess, in the 70s. What year did she open her restaurant?
She opened the restaurant in October of 1979.
Okay, so prior to that, and before the First Federal went on the south end, I guess, and built. The Thomas family has been in Jessamine County for quite some time. As a child, I can remember riding the bus with some of you guys, I think, as you lived around the road from me on Railroad, and still do, on Railroad Lane, right around from where we grew up. Let's go back and do some history on the Thomas family first.
All right.
Maybe we'll start with your dad. Tell us where he hails from, how he got to here.
Well, Dad was born in Arlington, Virginia, in 1931. He met my mother at Brigham Young University. I actually met her in high school in Arlington. She was from Arlington, too.
They both were from Arlington?
Yeah, they were, and they met at a talent show there.
Really?
Yeah.
Who was in? Was in one minute, or they just...
One of them was playing... My mother played the accordion, and my father played a dobro that he had bought at a pawn shop.
Yeah.
And so they met at some talent show and hit it off and began playing in bluegrass bands, which they continued to do pretty much up until the time that this restaurant was open.
Yeah. Now, in Arlington, you said this was in high school. I'm assuming because they went to Brigham Young, they were the Mormon faith, but were both of them?
My dad was born a Mormon, and my mother was a convert. Actually, she converted and married my father.
Did they decide, I guess, together in high school that let's both go out to Utah to Brigham Young?
Well, they got married. And
that did it.
Yeah.
Before they went.
Yeah, so they got married and went out to Brigham Young. And
all right.
I was born during the, I guess, my mom went into labor, ironically, during the middle of a BYU basketball game. And I always thought she left the game early, but I was told by her that, no, my father and her mother went to the game.
Yeah.
She stayed at home, went into labor, and then had to, they came home and took her to the hospital.
When your parents went out there, they were married. Were they married in Arlington?
Yes.
Okay. They moved to Utah to
actually, no, they actually married because church, they were engaged there, but they married in Salt Lake Temple.
Okay. So with the intention of one or both attending the university, correct?
That's right.
Okay.
My father was going there.
Was it her intention to do so?
No, she had Jim, I guess, about a year after they were married, and then me 2 years and 7 months. And shortly after that, they left for Raleigh.
What was he going there to study?
Well, Dad was, reminds me of one of my kids, but Dad was not sure what he was going to study. He'd been an auto mechanic. He'd worked at a printing press, and he ended up leaving. Well, he got kicked out of Brigham Young. he apparently flooded the dorms. And
really?
And yeah, it's a story in itself, but he and a good friend of his caused a lot of mischief there. But got kicked out, had to stay out a year, and then his mother begged that he get back in, and got back in, finished his degree, and after graduation, was planning on just going to work for his uncle on a farm in Colorado, a ranch. And a professor came up to him and said, "You don't need to go work on a ranch. You need to, you know, you need to go on and get a PhD."
Mm-hmm.
And that conversation on the sidewalk outside Brigham Young building there changed the course of my father's and, I guess, all of our lives.
Now, once he graduated with a doctorate, is that correct?
He graduated with an agriculture degree.
Okay. And you said then they went to
Raleigh, North Carolina, where he went to graduate school and got a PhD in soil chemistry.
Okay. Well, let's take a little detour here. You've already mentioned yourself and a brother. Let's talk about the Thomas kids. The oldest one is Jim, is that correct?
Jim.
Okay.
That's right.
And you said he was born while they were in Salt Lake City about a year later. Is that right?
That's right. He was born in 1952.
Okay. Real quick, tell me a little snippet about Jim, what he did with his life, where he lives, his family, things like that.
Jim went, of course, we moved here in August of 1968, and so Jim would have been about 16, I was 14. Jim went to high school here for, I believe, 3 years, and then he went to UK for 2 years, studying pre-medicine, and then he served a church mission in Central America, in various countries down there, in Nicaragua, Honduras, Costa Rica, and the islands of San Blas. He came back, finished up his four-year degree at Brigham Young University, and came back to Kentucky, went to medical school, and met Jerry, who he married later, and they had two boys. Then Jim and his wife went to practice medicine in London, Kentucky.
Okay.
And he was there for 20 years, working 100-hour weeks. Actually worked alongside B.T. Monahan's boy.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
For many years.
Pete.
Yeah. And then he finally went back to Florida thinking he'd slow down about 12 years ago, 14, I guess now. And he went from working 50-hour weeks to another 100-hour weeks because they immediately adopted that electronic records. And so he spends 50 hours a week doing that.
Yeah. How many are there total? How many kids?
Five.
All living and, still?
Yes.
Okay. So Jim was the oldest, and then you came along. Is that right?
I came along a year and 7 months later.
Well, I know what you've been doing. Let's tell everybody else what David Thomas has been up to, and tell me about your wife and kids as well.
I came here when I started high school and went to the Coolidge Building, double sessions the first year. And then after graduating from high school, I went to UK for 2 years, followed a pre-med curriculum like my brother. And then I served a mission in Argentina for 2 years. I was down there during the takeover when Isabel Perón was thrown from power and they had the military junta in the takeover.
Yeah, so, but that was interesting.
Oh, it was crazy, Been searched at gunpoint several times a day. After that mission, I came back and graduated from Brigham Young in agronomy.
Oh, really?
Like my father,
So you went to medicine and then agronomy.
I went to agronomy and then I decided to go to law school.
I started going to ask, what great light bulb went off to say, hey, I'm going to be an attorney?
Well, I actually, when I was on my mission, I was pretty much undecided. And then one day I woke up and I said, I think I'll be a lawyer. I like the people down there. I like the idea of helping people. I certainly like to teach. So I wrestled between teaching and becoming a lawyer.
Yeah. And you married when and where?
I met Kathy at Brigham Young in my senior year. We got married August 15th of 78. I graduated August 18th of
78, finished my last classwork August 19th of 78.
One busy week.
Went up to her family's home in Wyoming for a reception. Came back, started law school at UK a week later.
Wow. That was a busy time.
Yeah, I had a full summer cramming in the agronomy courses so I could get some kind of major.
How many children do you guys have?
We have four.
Yeah, tell us about them.
Our oldest is Grant. He works at UK Hospital.
Named after your dad.
IT, yes.
Okay.
And they have four children.
Uh-huh.
They live here in Nicholasville, he and his wife, Emma. And their oldest is just finished her freshman year in high school. And I think you interviewed her and their computer team, the robotics team.
Not long ago, because they were getting ready to go to state and national competition.
Yeah, she's the blondie.
Okay,
blondie
blonde. I didn't realize that. Okay.
And so they have two boys, two girls. And then next is Seth, who, after wanting to go to, I guess, into engineering, he decided that he wanted to become a lawyer, despite all my attempts to dissuade him not to.
And in practice with you.
And practice with me.
Yeah.
And he married Lisa, and Lisa has a master's in philosophy. They have three boys.
Okay.
And they live in Dad's old home.
On railroad.
And Seth is the dry stone expert that built the sign outside the office on Main Street.
And he lives in the old home place.
He does.
Is it yours, the next one?
Sam, my brother Sam.
Sam, who's the third one?
The Ukrainians.
All right, so Sam,
there's
two new ones right beside
where you grew up. There's Sam and Debbie.
Right.
And then there's Victor Grischuk and his wife and eight children.
Did so. Wow.
And then us on the left.
You're on the left?
But about a mile away.
Down around the hairpin curve?
Yeah, so you take that hairpin curve and you go down another five blocks and then go up the driveway, and that's us.
Okay. All right. Now I got you. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, and this is just totally popped in my mind and has nothing to do with anything other than if you live in our county or if you don't live in our county, if you ever have time and you want to see probably one of the most scenic bits of highway in our county, go down Old Railroad. And after you cross this hairpin, be careful, folks, because it is truly a hairpin curve. Be very careful. But once you go around that curve and pass the drive where it's going to your home, that stretch down through there with the trees lining the old railroad bed, I guess, is, especially when the leaves are out and even in the fall, one of the most beautiful drives.
That drive from the hairpin curve down to where it, well, really to the end, to Logana, is about 1.5 miles.
Okay, and it's just the most scenic, because if you drive down through there, and I do quite often to take my daughter to a friend's house, when you drive down through there, if you just think, you can almost imagine being on the old Rhiney B and taking a trip down through there and how those trees lined that track, I guess. And I'm assuming there's no telling how old those trees are down through there.
They've got to be, some of them have got to be about 175, 200 years old.
Just a beautiful little drive. Just an aside, you reminded me when we talked about where you live. Okay, let's get back on subject. I sometimes tend to stray.
No, it's okay.
All right, so we've got Seth. Who's your third child?
Jason.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason, he's after graduate from high school, he joined the Army and went straight in and became a Green Beret, Special Forces.
Okay.
Served two tours in Iraq, and he served 6 years, came back, and started college, and became an engineer, got an engineering degree from UK, and he works at Berea Motors.
Okay.
He started in Hitachi.
Okay.
And he's now Berea Motors.
Mm-hmm. Married?
Yes, he's married to Audrey, it was Audrey Baxter, and they have four children, and one due next month.
All right. And that'll be what grandchild for you?
Number 12.
Number 12, wow. And then the youngest?
Is Caitlin.
All right.
Laura Caitlin, and she worked for me for about 4 or 5 years after high school.
Right.
And then went back to UK and graduated 2 weeks ago.
Good.
With a degree in philosophy, with a perfect GPA at UK.
Good.
So now she's looking for work.
I understand. Now the hard part. All right. So let's see. We had Jim, and then we had you. Who was next in line?
Kathy.
Okay.
And Kathy married before I did, and she married Bruce Wood, who's a professor down, well, he ended up being a professor down in Georgia, did a lot of research on pecan trees, mm-hmm. and they have five children.
Wow, that's and a lot. You showed me this family picture. It's a massive amount.
And their kids are, I think, the fourth out of five is getting married next week.
Wow.
Actually, they moved from Georgia. Bruce retired from the university worked for the federal government.
Yeah.
And he retired and went to, they both went out up in Utah, a little ways away from Ogden.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Up in the mountains.
And let's see, Kathy, that was number three, right?
That's number
okay.
three.
Who's next?
Carol.
I guess Carol's the one I remember the best. Sam mm-hmm. and Sam, I think, who's the youngest, is a couple years older than me. Carol, I remember more than I do Kathy.
Carol's our blonde-haired girl wonderful mother. She and her husband, Bill, who's an optometrist out in Brigham City.
Okay.
They have seven children.
Seven children.
And I don't know, going on 15 or 16 grandkids at this point. But they're lovely family.
And then Sam, of course, is the baby, and he lives out by the old home place.
He does. He lives next door. He built out there about 4 or 5 years ago.
What's he been up to?
Sam worked overseas for a while in Thailand, actually working for a tobacco company.
Mm-hmm.
And then he then worked for I think it was called ACS for a long time and did mm-hmm. work in
mm-hmm.
India.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he opened up his own landscaping business. I want to say, I'm embarrassed here, but I want to say at least 15 to 18 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And he is mows 200 lawns a week.
Wow.
And works 10, 12-hour days,
yeah.
5, 6 days a week.
That's amazing.
He's amazing.
I'm trying to think. Sam, 57, does that sound right?
Let's see.
7 years old? I can't remember if he was a year or 2 years
Sam
ahead
is
of me.
6 years younger than I am.
Yeah.
So he would have been born in 1960.
Yeah, he's 2 years older than me. Yeah, okay.
Carol.
Sam. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was between you guys.
That's right.
So she would have been in.
And Sam, yeah. Sam and Debbie. Debbie's from New York, his wife. And they have two daughters.
So how many total grandchildren does Grant and Bertie Thomas have? Do you know? Can you figure that real quick?
Yeah, I can.
It's a bunch.
Yeah. So grandchildren.
Yeah.
Now let's see, 20.
And let's go on down the line. How many greats?
Great grandchildren right now. I think mom and dad who passed away in 01. 30.
Wow.
I want to say about 35 right now.
Yeah. Is there any great-greats yet?
Not yet, but close.
Yeah, close.
Yeah, getting close.
That's great. David, I wish you all – this is why radio is insufficient in a lot of ways, is we brought a great picture in here that not everybody's in this, but it's still amazing. They had to do a pretty good panoramic view to get everybody in. All right, so we know all about the Thomas family. And one question I wanted to ask you, because you said you were born, I guess, out in Utah.
Yes.
And then you went to Raleigh, which is a pretty good-sized town. And then all of a sudden, you're high school age, and they bring you to this little town of Nicholasville. I mean, was that any kind of a culture shock? You hadn't lived anywhere that small before, right?
Well, we moved from Raleigh to Virginia Tech, Blacksburg, mm-hmm. where my dad
was a
professor. And then we moved out to California, where he did a sabbatical at Berkeley, back to Virginia Tech, then to Texas A&M.
Wow.
Where we spent 5 years. And then to Kentucky, but we always lived on a farm.
UK is what brought him here?
UK. He liked the idea that he didn't have to travel as much, and one of his demands was that he not be required to wear a suit.
Really?
Yeah.
And, you know, he moved so many times in his job, and I guess, was it a situation, David, when he got to this point, Kentucky, he said, you know, this is enough. We need to find a place we can settle down, or did he just like it enough that he said, this is it?
He fell in love with this place
okay.
and fell in love with the university, and they ended up being such a better fit for him.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I think for the whole family, we all fell in love with the farm. Didn't feel like it was much different from Virginia.
Yeah.
A lot different from Texas.
Oh, yes.
And he loved UK, and they were really after him because he was one of the pioneers of no-tillage.
Uh-huh.
Or he became one
uh-huh.
and traveled to other countries to introduce it in other countries.
So he did that, I guess, until he retired.
He retired, took three jobs immediately, including substitute teaching out here at the schools, a census taker, and working for one of his PhD students out in the field.
Wow.
And he got brain cancer and died pretty quickly.
I didn't realize. You said 2001. It just, time has passed so quickly, I didn't realize it had been that long. Now, your mother, you know, she had her hands full during all this because she is raising five, right? One, two, three, yeah. Five kids, and all over the country, all these different places. Did she work outside of the home? Was that's a big enough job, what she did right there? Did she have other ventures prior to what we're going to talk about in a moment?
Well, Mom always did some typing, and she also worked, I think she worked at an insurance company in Lexington, but she worked here at the Soil Conservation Service, which is in the little building over near the courthouse annex, mm-hmm. used to be.
Yeah.
And then...
Was it on Court Row?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that,
okay.
Where David Marshall and then Hunter, I think they had some space there, and then later Marty East and I had space there.
So at some point in time, and that gets us, I guess, unless there's other things we need to add, but that gets us to the point that people now will remember, probably the reason that most people remember Bertie Thomas, is she opened a restaurant. And it was located on Maple Street, right behind Hemp Hills, folks. If you ever know, well, for our new people, it's Jay's Place now. But what used to be known as Hemp Hills, right behind there is a building. Did you have your law office in there for a while?
I did.
After that?
Hunter, Darty, and I had a law office there.
Yeah.
But that was
after the restaurant, correct?
That's right.
Okay. What made her decide, okay, I've done all this, now I'm going to cook?
Well, when she and my dad and the family, I was in Argentina serving a mission at the time, but the rest of the younger kids went with my dad and mom on a sabbatical to Oxford, England.
Mm-hmm.
And they were there for about six or eight months. And my mother she wanted to work. So she went out looking for work and came across a restaurant that was looking for help. In fact,
In England.
Okay. In Oxford, Somerville. And they were looking for help. In fact, the owner was going to close down that night. But my mom came in and he asked her if she had any restaurant experience, and she said yes. In fact, her restaurant experience consisted of her and my dad playing bluegrass music at Shakey's Pizza Parlor in Lexington.
Oh, my gosh.
For 3 years.
Shakey's Pizza.
Yeah.
Now, you talk about a blast from the past.
That's...
David, you have brought back so many good memories for me. I was talking to some people. That's one thing I like about this program is we get to talking to people, and then all of a sudden a nugget like that comes out, and you just remember so much more. I was talking to someone not long ago about Shakey's Pizza, and the thing I remember the most as a young boy going to Shakey's. Of course, you know, as well as I do, that when we grew up, you didn't go to Lexington very often. If you did, or at least in my family, it was normally to go to the doctor. Mom had to take us to the pediatrician, and we got to go somewhere special to eat. But we just didn't go up there very often. But Shakey's Pizza, I can remember these things. One is there was a ramp that you could walk up to see them actually make the pizzas, which at that time was something completely new. The cardboard or whatever styrofoam hats that they gave out that you could wear, the player piano, and the fried chicken. I mean, those are things that and it was located, I think, over around where Burger King is now.
That's right.
Yeah.
On Nicholas Hill Road.
Right there off that little street. They played bluegrass there.
They played bluegrass there. And like you say, I didn't get up there a lot, but I was actually going to UK a couple of years here doing it. But every time you went there, they got the crowd got rowdy, and somebody always wanted them to play Rocky Top, and they'd start dancing on the tables up there.
So
my parents would oblige.
And it was a great family restaurant.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, and the food was really good. But that was her restaurant. When she goes to England and the guy asks her, you know, here's a restaurant that's probably serving, you know, bangers and mash. And what's that other English?
Quiche.
Yeah, all kinds of different things. Yeah. What's your experience? And she says, oh, yeah, I do. And it was playing at Shakey's.
That's right.
Of course, he had no clue about that or where Shakey's was.
No.
So she worked there, and I guess... Was she a pretty good cook before
that?
She was
a great cook.
Okay.
My mom, Dave was always cash poor. You know, he liked land, but
yeah.
Never had any money. So my mom, you know, fed an army, basically. And she could whip up a meal from, it seemed like, nothing.
Yeah.
And so she worked there at that restaurant in England, making quiche, as she said, 6 days a week for about 8 months, the time they were there. And then came back in 1979. I think it was October.
Let's open one.
She opened one.
And it was located there on Maple Street. I guess it was available at that time. Was that a first one?
Yes.
Okay. Did she work at any other restaurant here in this town?
No.
That was it.
She had just heard that people wanted some country cooking, and she was pretty much done with all the kids by then.
You know, at that time, David, I'm trying to think, the country kettle was around. By that time, the old places that I can remember my dad talking about, the hole in the wall and places like that, were already gone. Basically, the country kettle, I guess, because Nixville Cafe wasn't open then. George's restaurant, no, it was by then it was gone. You had few of on the south end, and then in the new Edgewood Plaza, you had George's Chicken Chuck, which was opened by George's at George's Drive-In. But really downtown, other than Country Kettle, there wasn't anything. I guess you could get a sandwich at Hemphill's.
Right.
And maybe a root beer float at Yearwood's, but that was it. So, yeah, she filled a good little hole there when she opened that place.
Yeah, she started by just serving lunch, and the regulars would go by early in the morning and see the lights on real early. Well, those lights were for the church group, the seminary group, the high school kids that went in and studied church history and scriptures. And so they thought she was in there cooking all the time and said, "Why don't you open for breakfast?" So she did. She opened for breakfast and lunch 6 days a week.
She always had a pretty good crowd in there. Every time I remember being in there, it was always a good crowd. And she had some people that helped her. Grace Vanderpool cooked pies for her.
Grace Vanderpool was probably the key to getting that restaurant going. Grace was her right-hand person as a cook. And then Virginia Meeks also cooked.
And we did a program on Grace and Jean. With their son, Scotty. And I know he was very complimentary of Birdie and the fact that
she loved Grace.
Yeah.
Everybody did.
Helped him. Boy, you talk about somebody who could cook a chocolate pie. Wow. Just amazing. Yeah. She also did some work for the Sandman. And I guess that was prior to Squire's Retreat opening, too. How long did the restaurant was it open?
I think it closed in 1984.
Was there any particular reason?
The health of the cooks.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. And they just couldn't quite do it anymore, and she just was feeling overwhelmed, and then I ran it.
And then, you had it.
I was cleaning the floors for a little extra money and doing whatever I could to help her out, and so was my wife.
Did she own that building?
She owned the building, and then I rented from her.
Uh-huh.
And then Hunter Daugherty and I, when we went into a partnership, we bought from her.
It currently is occupied by Ellen Miller, who is also an attorney, who is in there right now. It's been a number of things since the restaurant. What's a question that sometimes I ask on this program, and I'll ask it about both your parents, because a lot of people remember both of them. If you had to, in a word, describe Birdie Thomas, what would it be?
Energetic.
Yeah.
She's 85 and just finished taking a rafting trip on the Snake River, and before that, the Colorado River. And she's always going places with friends. She volunteers at a local hospital, and she also works for, I think it's called Allie's Angels, caring for the elderly. But my mom's just been nonstop energy. When we were growing up, it seems like she was feeding everybody else's family.
First,
she was always helping out, taking meals to people in need, and she was amazing.
And she's doing all this now at 85.
Yeah, she's going strong.
Now you tell me, she's back in Utah? Is that correct?
She is. She lives in Brigham City, right next to Carol.
Yeah,
and her family.
How long has it been since does she get to come back very often?
She just came back about a month and a half ago, and all my brothers and sisters came in, and we surprised her up at a restaurant. She didn't know we were coming. Sam brought her there, and we all were already sitting in place, and she sat down next to us, didn't even recognize us.
You're kidding. You had to rent the whole restaurant.
Well, we covered our faces with menus and everything, and then I had Jim go over and say, what would you like to eat, ma'am?
Oh, man, you had to get the whole restaurant to put that bunch in it.
So, Mom. It was just the siblings.
Okay. Kids. Just the kids.
Yeah, so that was so she comes back once a year.
Okay. And the same question about Grant, your dad. A word to describe him.
a worker. He was a great worker.
Yeah.
And he was one of these people that treated everybody the same,
yeah.
which was critical, I think, to bringing us kids up. But
sure.
he taught us how to work.
Do you, having, and you got to do this, and Jim especially got to do this, did all of you live in all these different places? Sam couldn't have.
No, Sam didn't live in all the places,
yeah.
and Carol didn't.
But
all moved around quite a bit.
But did you, and or do you, in your years since, did you ever feel like you ever wanted to leave? Was this truly home for the Thomas family? I know some of them are gone.
Oh,
but,
here
about,
in Kentucky?
But personally, Jessamine County in particular, did you ever think, you know, because you've been all over the world, Dave. Is it just like your dad, when you got here, you're like, this is it?
Well, my dad came to me when we were in Texas because I had really good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And was just getting ready to start high school.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew it was a tough time to
sure.
uproot you. And he asked me if it was okay.
Oh, yeah.
If he moved here. And I said, well, sure. What was I going to say? it was tough, but... I don't think of any other place, but Kentucky is my home. And in
yeah.
fact, that's the reason once Kathy and I built, we just said, we're staying here. So we've been lucky enough to have all our kids around us.
Mm-hmm.
Never thought that would happen, but it's just been just superb. Our sons are married to good women and
yeah.
have good kids. And we're just extremely blessed. And it's the only home I know.
You've seen a lot of changes because you've been here. What year did you say you moved here?
68.
68. You've been around to see a lot of major changes in our community and a lot of different aspects, you know, just in your business. Oh, gosh. You look at how the differences in the law and the court system between the time you got into it to now and how it works. Nixville sure has changed, but, you know, it's one of those things, and I've seen it too, David. You go away, and you know, if you're like me, but sure glad to get back.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
that's where I formed my friendships. They were later in life,
right?
But they're just superb, you know, really good friends.
We want you to do us a favor and wish your mom well. I hope that she gets to hear the program. We know she's out there, and there is a way she can do that. I forwarded you that link. Maybe if we have your whole family listen to this show, it might be the highest rating we've ever had.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's quite a few of them.
As many as you have.
You know, thanks for having me. It's been good.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming in because, you know, every once in a while you think about, and we don't have to go far back to think about Squire's Retreat. I mean, it's even though when you think about it, the early 80s, how long ago that's been. To me, it doesn't seem like it's been that long ago. But you think certainly about businesses that used to be and one that people knew. And as I have done this program, I've had people reminisce. And every once in a while, somebody will say, well, do you remember this? You remember this? And you remember this? And so it's good to remember those places that we remember and the way that Nicholasville used to be because, as we have said on many of our programs, is everything that's happened in the past has led us to where we are now in some way. It's good to remember those things and those people especially because she was a business owner in our town that helped support our economy and our growth. And your dad, gosh, how many farmers did he help, even indirectly, in the job that he did? So we appreciate you taking time to remember the Thomas family.
Well, thanks for having us.
Yeah. My thanks to Dave Thomas for coming in today and talking about his mom and dad, Bertie and Grant Thomas, and Squire's Retreat. I also appreciate you coming in every Saturday morning. We'll do it again next week at 11. All Things Jessamine will once again be on the air. And don't forget, we get you up and going. I'm here every weekday morning from 6 until 8 on Jessamine County's own radio station, Jess FM 105.9.
Hi, I'm Glenn Downs, pharmacist at the Prescription Pad. We're now Nicholasville's only family-owned and operated pharmacy. Our knowledgeable and experienced staff guarantees personalized service that focuses on your personal health needs and the health needs of your family. We understand how busy life gets. That's why we provide great service, drive-through, and free delivery in Nicholasville and Wilmore. We offer a variety of services and products including compounding, nebulizers, compression stockings, rollator walkers, and wheelchairs. I'm Glenn Downs, and I'd like the opportunity to be your pharmacist. Come see us on the Nicholasville Bypass in the Keene Center between Copper River Grill and Anytime Fitness. We're the Prescription Pad, a different kind of pharmacy.